the money that controls the rebuilding of their water systems, of their sewage systems, of their electricity, of their roads, is still being controlled by this government. So as they try to have autonomy over their basic infrastructure, they'll come across another unexploded ordinance. So the Bush administration has been working frantically over the past year to plant these mines. And it was only after they were planted, ready to detonate, that the elections were allowed finally, at long last, to take place. So the next time somebody tells you that America gave democracy to the Iraqi people, remind them that this government fought democracy in Iraq at every stage. What this means, of course, is that Iraq is poised to become another country which loses faith in democracy, which is a very, very dangerous idea at this time. If you want to feed the fuels, fan the flames of fascism, it's a very good way to do it. Get the entire population to lose faith in democracy, because they'll find that they have the vote, but they don't have water, that they have elections, but they don't have jobs, they don't have food. Now, the reason why I'm going through all of this in detail, and the reason why I feel that it is important to pay attention to the small print of war, is that this is not a story that is being told in the past tense. We often hear about these betrayals that take place in these transition moments afterwards. But this is a robbery in progress. We can stop it. The good news is that Iraqis are totally within their legal rights to refuse to pay these debts, to refuse to abide by laws that were written when they were being occupied, because that very fact violates the Geneva Conventions and the Hague Regulations. The problem is, the catch is, that if they do that, they face enormous risk, because we will suddenly hear from all the people who dyed their fingers purple in solidarity with the Iraqis that Iraqis are not obviously ready for democracy after all. And that means that they need our backup. I've talked to many of my friends in this country who feel tremendously confused and destabilized by these recent elections, by this feeling that maybe Bush was right, or how do we answer all of this propaganda? They've bought the idea that the election somehow made the war right, and it's left us feeling speechless. I guess what I want to say to you tonight is this is not the moment to lose our faith and our bearings, because the role of a principled anti-war movement has actually never been more crucial or clearer. Our role is not in any way ever to belittle the risk taken by Iraqis by dismissing the risk that they took in casting their votes as somehow a sham. Our job is to honor that risk by forcing our politicians to listen to what Iraqis actually voted for. That means we join with them and become not just pro-democracy activists, but demining activists. We have to find all of these unexploded ordinances that have been planted by our leaders, and we need to try to disarm them before they explode. Our demands are not something we pull out of the blue, not something we decide at gatherings like this. Our demands have been handed to us by the Iraqi people. We know how they're defining freedom, which is freedom from military occupation, including the so-called enduring military bases. But they are also saying that in order to be free, they need to have the financial resources to rebuild the country that they want, a country that has been so tremendously devastated, not just by this war, but by the Gulf War and by the years of devastating sanctions in between. And what that means is massive war reparations. It also means that the money Congress has allotted for Iraq's reconstruction has to go to the people of Iraq. That's a principled demand, to spend how they choose. And it means that Iraq must not be bound by the laws, contracts, and constitutions written by their occupiers. And it means, first and foremost, that Iraq has to be free from debt, the debts of their dictator and the debts of their occupiers, with absolutely no strings attached. These demands are not a guarantee that Iraq won't descend into further civil strife and chaos. But what they are the preconditions for democracy, the basic tools required to achieve this thing we call self-determination. And it is, if not a guarantee, the only hope of giving Iraq's democracy a fighting chance to survive. Now, there are progressives in this country who somehow feel afraid to fight for democracy because they feel that the idea itself has been tainted by Bush. We can't fight for it or demand it because it's somehow his words. We listen to Bush appropriating our most cherished ideals in his inauguration address, in his State of the Union address: freedom from oppression, freedom from slavery, human rights, women's rights, using them to justify their exact opposite. And we despair. But there is no reason, I believe, to despair. Because Bush is right about one thing, which is there is this fundamental, deep desire for freedom in everyone. I believe it when he says it. I don't believe he means it. But I believe it's true because I saw it with my own eyes in Iraq. And it's time to take our words back. And it's time to attach them to real action again. Because when Bush is able to use history's most powerful emancipatory ideas to justify regimes of brutal occupation, torture, and economic pillage, it means something. What it means is that we have left our own ideals unattended. If he picked them up and use them as weapons against Iraqis, against Venezuelans, against Haitians, against Iranians, against Syrians, it's because we're using them, confidence in them. We allowed them to atrophy. We failed to defend them. We failed to embody them. We failed to keep breathing life into them. We failed to act on them. Because that's how you keep these ideas real, through concrete acts of solidarity with the people who are fighting for these ideals around the world. So instead of feeling angry and helpless as we listen to George Bush talk about democracy by cruise missile, what we need to do is we need to become far better pro-democracy activists ourselves. And we need to insist on this deep definition of democracy, one that includes not just voting, not just ritual, but the tools that are needed for people to be authors of their destiny. Bush didn't bring democracy to Iraq. He fought it and continues to fight it with everything he has. They do this not because they're incompetent or bad planners or sloppy managers. They do it because if Iraq was genuinely free, if they built the country they voted for, one free of foreign soldiers and in control of their own economy, it would defeat the purposes of the war. A free Iraq would deny them what the war was fought for. And that is why there's no better way to work for peace than to fight for genuine democracy in Iraq. We can't fear it. Because the Bush administration can deal with the Middle East in chaos, a Middle East that descends into violence and fascism. The real threat, the scenario that has been fought at every juncture, is a self-governing Iraq that is genuinely free of them. So if we want to stop this war and prevent future wars while we're at it, we have to do more than march and call for peace. We have to make war unprofitable. We have to deny them the spoils of war, what war is for. Because George Bush promised to bring freedom and democracy to Iraq, but he didn't mean it. But we can mean it, and we can prove it with more than our sympathy, with more than our despair, with more than our anger, but with our actions. Happy President's Day. Thank you.